Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, I just started following you on Instagram.
I just started following you.
Is that because why did you wait to follow me? This is what
because
I,
didn't know you were on there. Do you find me on Instagram? Like, unless someone follows you, I don't know that, like, it's not like Twitter where you're more, you see other people's feeds or retweets and stuff. You're like, oh, they're there with Instagram.
Oh, really? You don't think so? You thought so? The reason why you weren't following me is because you thought that I wasn't on Instagram.
I just had no idea you were there. Wait, and then when it said Jamie likes following you, I was like, oh, I'll follow him.
So you never sat there and gone, I wonder if Jamie is on Instagram.
Do you know what's happening in the world right now? Like, look at the giant things that, no, that's not top of my list. You is Jamie Lang on Instagram.
So you're just saying, I just want to know, okay, I want
to Brexit,
know.
Trump, like, everything that's happening,
I
global
just want to know that there hasn't been one moment where you've thought, I wonder if he's on Instagram.
There's never been a moment. But why did you only just start following me this morning?
Well, because...
Hey, switch it up.
Okay, why I'll switch it up. Well, because I thought I listened to your podcast. I've followed you, but not in a creepy way. I haven't, like, followed you around the place. I've just sort of followed... I followed your work for a while.
So then why didn't you think it's carried on Instagram?
Well, then I did think... I think, you know, she's coming on the podcast. Maybe I... follow her on Instagram.
You thought, she's coming on the podcast. Oh, shit. Better check she's on Instagram.
You weren't following me either.
But you only know that because you weren't following me.
No, you don't. You know that's such an unfair lie. I think you...
that is true.
I think you went, oh, God, I'm going on the podcast today. I might check. Oh, he is on Instagram. Oh, God, he follows me. Now I should follow him back.
No, because you literally... that's what you did this morning.
No, it wasn't this morning. It was this morning.
It was like I was in the cab and I was like, oh, he started following me. I'll start following him.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate sort of details of our lives. Joined with me today is Carrie Adloyd.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, so do you know why I'm really excited to hang out with you today?
Are you?
Yeah, because I think you're a really good interviewer.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you're very good. You're very calm. You're very relaxed. You're a very good one, which puts, I think, the other interviewee at calm, because, you know, if I stop talking, I know you would then start talking.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I try to be, especially because my podcast is about, well, it's Griefcast is about death.
Yeah.
So you want people to be feeling comfortable and like they can say whatever they need to say. So yeah, I try and be very comfortable. But also it's just a chat. I always think it's just a chat. Like,
yeah, but I think, but chats can be, you know, now chats are like, no one talks anymore. And this is my problem. Yeah. No, this is why I started the podcast, because no one talks.
Yeah, it's true. It's difficult. I think it's difficult to find the time. And also bars are very noisy, aren't they? Everyone's so noisy. Every time I'm out, I think, oh, I don't want to talk here. I can't hear you. I'm like an old lady. I can't hear. And do you do that? You go, yeah, yeah. And then they're looking at you and you think, what did they say? I'm just yeah.
I hate that thing when people, when you're in a bar or in a club and someone leans in, they put their finger on your like earlobe bit. Like, do you know?
Who does that?
Yeah.
What clubs are you going to?
It means they really fancy you. They put it on your ear. If someone touches your, it's not your ear. What is that little? What
your
is
earlobe?
That? No, it's not your earlobe.
Oh, the bit. Oh, yeah, where people get it pierced. Sometimes.
What is that bit called?
I don't know. It's like it's full of cartilage. It's quite tough. And I guess I would say it's the door to your ear. Because if you close that, you can't hear.
It's It's not the door. I reckon it's a technical term. No, the eardrum is the door to your...
No, the eardrum's inside. This
which is the okay, door
so
to
it's
your
what?
Ear.
It's the porch? What was
it? I quite like a porch.
It's your porch. I want to go back to
How posh is my ear? We got. You where's got the porch. Driveway? How long?
You definitely have a driveway. I'm sorry, who touches your ear in clubs?
Well, this is the thing. You know, I don't know how you have never experienced this when someone
how,
comes
how
up to
How have you... This is not the question, Jamie. You're like, have you never experienced? The question is, how did you experience
No, you
that?
Haven't lived. You have... Honestly, when someone...
I'm
you,
an old lady.
It's when someone... You're in a nightclub or wherever it is and someone comes up to you and they want to say something to you, so they press down on the porch to your ear and they then speak to you, and I find that really invasive and slightly annoying.
It is invasive, it is annoying, and only your friends are doing it, and it's weird.
No, it's random people doing it to me. It's not just my
friends. Randomly touching your... What club are you in? How much are people paying to be in that club?
God, this is the thing I don't understand about night. Do you ever go nightclubbing?
No, of course not. Look at me.
Well, you look great. You look...
Exactly. I don't go nightclubbing. I look fresh. No. I have a child.
Okay.
And I wasn't really a nightclubber beforehand.
You weren't?
I grew up in London, so we used to go out like... when we were teenagers, and I think by the time I got to 21, I was like, oh, done, a bit bored.
Yeah, but that's... Do you know how good that is? Because I think what happens, and especially in the sort of London sphere, it's good. You like that? It's a silent...
It's good when you have to point out the silent...
Yeah,
one.
I like just pointing out these things.
Yeah, yeah.
But you
in
know,
London sphere.
Sphere. People normally, they go clubbing, right? Or they go partying, and they sort of do... You go to London, you're in your like late teens, early 20s, and you party, and then people continue to party because they don't really get out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's good that you suddenly stopped. But why did you kind of stop?
I was never massively into it. Without turning this into Griefcast, because my dad died when I was 15. Mm-hmm. So like... when my friends were like, let's go party, I would party for a bit, but I kind of knew that life inevitably was going to end at some point. So I felt like, is it worth us all getting drunk and taking drugs when we're all going to die? So I was real fun. I would describe as real fun.
But that and I think that's what we have to mention. You know, I'm a huge fan of yours. Really, really. But, you know, on and off podcasts. So I'm not just a podcast, your podcast fan, but I'm also just a fan of, again,
just
your work.
Just
of you, and just of you. I really, and we're going to end all of that. But you have a very successful podcast called Griefcast. And I was just listening to you on Jesse Ware's podcast.
Yeah, Table, which I love, Table Manners.
Yeah.
It was really good food as well.
Was it? You had kedgeree.
I had kedgeree, which I always...
Which I would go, what the fuck are you feeding me kedgeree for?
I keep calling it kedgeree, which is wrong, and everyone keeps correcting me. Kedgeree, that's right.
Are you a fully bred kedgeree?
I'm a mongrel. I don't normally like kedgeree, but it was delicious. She's a really good cook.
You're going to have to say that. You can't...
No, genuinely, because like... genuinely, she's a really good cook. Otherwise, I'd be like, yeah, it's nice. But like, it was good.
It was really good.
Yeah, that's not me being like, lovely. It was like, wow, this is so tasty.
But you do your podcast, Griefcast. And on Jesse Ware's one, you were talking about the fact that you now do it as a weekly one. And
yes.
You kind of signed up to doing a weekly podcast about death, which is is quite hectic for anyone.
Hectic's the word for it.
Do you know what I mean? I think it is. But the way you do it, and all of our listeners, you should literally not... When this finishes, you should slide across and
listen to this first.
Yeah, you listen to this one first and then slide across or whatever you do. I know, what are they doing? Hey, Jenny, go and... Yeah, wait until this finishes, then go and click on Griefcast. It's great. But it is, it's so good. But I think you've spoken about this lots, but I kind of want our listeners to understand as well. Your dad died at 50, when you were 15 years old. And how did that hit you pretty hard?
Yeah, really hard. So he died of pancreatic cancer, which is normally quite a fast one because it's diagnosed very late.
Yeah.
Normally, it does a terrible survival rate. About like 3% of people survive longer
than
a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was diagnosed in the February. He was dead by the April. And then like 2 weeks later, I had to do my GCSEs. And so,
oh my God.
Yeah, so it was, yeah, it was like before that, my life was, I would say, kind of stable, kind of normal, very suburban London, basically fine. And, you know, mum, dad and my brother. And I hadn't really known much. Although if you'd asked me when I was 14, I would have said,
I know everything.
I know trouble, guys. Yeah. I related to Darlene from Roseanne quite heavily. but then, yeah, it turned my world upside down completely, utterly. Yeah. And like I said, all my friends were going out and getting pissed and, you know, getting boyfriends and like not caring, all the things teenagers should do. And I was just like, guys, people die. Why are we doing this? What's the point of life?
Yeah, but I can see that because... And is that how you were then handling the sort of process? You're just going, well, everyone dies, and it just unfortunately, you know, with my dad died earlier. Were you that sort of period where you felt it was unfair? Were you angry at the world?
Oh, I was so angry.
Yeah, because that happens.
I was so angry. Because you're angry as a teenager anyway, right?
Yeah, and like, throw that in.
And then, yeah, exactly. Throw that in. I was furious. I mean, you wouldn't have
At the world? At people?
Everybody. I was pretty sassy. Sassy's the kind word for it.
Yeah, sassy's kind of like, yeah. Sassy's a bit sexy, isn't it? Are you a bit sassy? Is it?
No, I was more like difficult.
Yeah.
Being polite about myself. I was very angry at school. And then obviously whenever anyone tried to say anything, I was like, well, my dad died, so maybe that's why I'm pissed off. And then the teacher would be like, okay, sorry, you can leave now. Go away, please.
Oh, God.
It was real fun.
I remember when I was at school, I had this guy. This guy was just, it's actually really horrid. I don't know, it makes me feel sad thinking about it. But there was a guy at school who kept crying in his classes. Aww. And he kept crying in his classes. And I, we had an argument one day. And I went, why don't you just go and cry to your mummy like you always do? And he went, my mum's dead. And I went,
God.
And the only response I could say to him was, so's mine. So because I didn't know what else to do. Because I was like 14 years old and panicking because I'd never experienced death. So I was right. Like, well, I have to be on a level with him. Yeah, mine too. Yeah, I didn't know what to... I think I almost said, yeah, mine was murdered. Just to try and have a one-up.
Can I just say, if you're listening, that is not... I wouldn't recommend that.
Don't try and attack with attack. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing, because we don't talk about it and it's awkward. So that poor boy probably didn't know how to say...
You don't know how to...
I imagine
right?
What, all boys school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you manage it? Why?
I just...
Because I have a porch? Is that
right?
Yeah,
I just... That's what I got a feeling. I got a feeling it was private. I got a feeling it was all boys. I got a feeling you didn't meet girls until you were 18. I just got that feeling.
Well, hey, listen, you're going to be surprised, but it's very true.
Yeah, you've hit
the nail on the head right there.
What can I say? I'm a psychic. So that poor boy, you know, he's in that world where it's not okay to cry and he doesn't know who to say. And everyone is so awkward about death. And I imagine it sounds like perhaps the school didn't have a great pastoral care system that they, like a lot more.
But does anyone? Nowadays they do because we're clued up a bit more,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's better. But like definitely like... When we were growing up, it was, yeah, my school like offered no counselling and, you know, a couple of teachers said, oh, sorry about your dad. And it was like, and then that was kind of it really.
Yeah, but isn't that because especially in the UK, we weren't good at expressing emotions, right? I mean, you weren't meant to bottle that, put it in the back of your head and forget about it for a
bit. Yeah, and it was a sign of strength. And I think we're moving into an age now where like the more we talk about mental health issues or gender issues or race issues or, you know, sexuality, there's this amazing time we're living in now where we're like, oh, maybe it's wrong that we kind of go, anyway, move on, someone's upset, you know. And we're going, no, let's talk about it. And that's what I've tried to do with the podcast, is create a show that I wanted when I was 15, where people just talked about death really normally, really factually and honestly, without being like, and so when did he die?
Because this is my thing. This is what I'm going to say.
So sad.
Yeah, because does that annoy you back when you?
Oh my god, it's
cause,
like
because everyone says to you, say, "Oh, my dad's died," and they would go, "Oh god, I'm just so sorry. Oh god, it must have been so hard." And you're like, "Well, shut the fuck up. You have no idea, like what I'm kind of going through, right?"
It's really hard to know what to say. So the thing we talk about on the show a lot is you have to understand it's personal. I don't mind when people say to me, "Oh, I'm so sorry about your dad." Doesn't bother me. I say, "Oh, thank you." But some people go, "Why are you sorry? You didn't kill him." They get really angry at the phrase, "I'm sorry." So what you have to do if someone is grieving and you don't know what to say, just try. And if you're wrong, say, "Oh, I'm sorry. That was the wrong thing to say." Like I think we're so bad at being wrong and getting things wrong and it being awkward. Whereas actually, if you say to someone, "Oh, I'm really," you know, they say, "My dad died," and you go, "I'm sorry." And they go, "Well, you didn't kill him." You go, "No, I know. I'm just sorry that that happened to you."
Yeah.
Like that's a fine thing to say. And you're acknowledging it rather than going, anyway, move on quick.
Hey, everyone. We're going to come back with Private Parts in just 1 second, just after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Whew, there we go. Now, let's get back into it.
That's actually, my stepdad, who's a pretty big G, actually, he taught me a lot of things. Not in a, again, in a weird way. He taught me.
I'm sitting here going, pretty big G.
Yeah.
It's pretty big G. I've heard people saying it. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, you do. You're down with the kids.
I'm not. As in, I take a child to childminders.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You're down with the kids. Hey, you have a kid. Yeah. You're down with them.
Hey, Dougie, kick pop. Shout out to all the Dougie fans.
But he was the one who taught me that you can't butter bread in the air.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently you can't do that. And you have to, like, you know, eat this in a certain way and do this and behave this way. And you know, you can't have an eyebrow ring at the table. And I had all these things. And he was sitting next to a lady, had a dinner party. And my mum told me this story. And I kind of stuck. You know those stories that sometimes just stick with you? And you don't know why, for no reason, but it just does. He was talking to a girl and he said, she said, oh, I'm single. And he said, oh, what happened to your husband? Did he up and leave you? And she said, no, he died. And my stepfather said, I'm so sorry, that is so clumsy of me to judge. And
oh, that's lovely.
Isn't that such, and it, for some reason it stuck with me.
He is a big G.
Yeah, it's such a great way
that's
to phrase
brilliant.
It.
Yeah.
And it's such an elegant way because people...
Very elegant.
Because it's not awkward, you know. How are you meant to know that, you know, you're...
Yeah, how would he know? He doesn't know.
So but saying clumsy, because it probably is clumsy, because you straight away jump to an assumption that isn't...
Yeah, exactly. I think that's amazing that he said that, because what that also says is he was okay with being wrong, and he was okay with saying, oh, I apologize for what I just said, rather than, well, it was your fault, I didn't know, which I think is a lot of people get defensive straight away and they think, well, I feel bad and I want to not feel bad immediately. But to just say, oh, I'm so sorry, that was clumsy of me, what happened, or are you okay? I think that's just... That just acknowledges I have said something that may have been insensitive to you, and I'm sorry.
But then and I know you've spoken about this so much, I don't want to always
no,
talk
fine.
About this, but it's just, you know, how did you get over the pro? Because you're not counselled, you don't have anything to go by, you've never experienced death before, none of your friends are going through the same thing as you, so you're processing all of these problems and issues, and you're probably feeling depressed, anxious, or everything at once.
Massively.
Yeah, all those kind of things. So how do you, was it a light switch moment? Was it a long process? What was the thing of getting past all that?
Well, I think the really important thing to say is you don't get over it. So I'm...
Do you not?
No, you don't. I'm 20 years in, and I wouldn't say I'm over it. I would say I've learned how to deal with it. So there's a new theory of grief counselling now, which is like, it will always be with you. It will always occasionally be extremely painful, but that doesn't mean that I'm heartbroken 24/7. And the way we talk about it now, there's a model by Lois Tonkin, which is the idea of like, grief stays the same size, like a big squiggly mess, but your life grows around it. So as time goes on and you have more life around it, perhaps the grief is further away, but the grief can still be there and it can still pop up like a grief ninja, we sometimes term it on
grief
the podcast.
Ninja.
So you could be walking down the street and I might see a man from, you know, far away, looks exactly like my dad, and suddenly I'm transported. In the same way, if you saw someone who looked like your dad, you'd think, oh, and
he looks like my dad.
But for me, that's a painful memory. And so it's about acknowledging that it, you know, people can still be sad about it for the rest of their lives. But what we have to do is allow them to talk about it. Allow them, it's okay to be sad. It doesn't mean you're going to be sad forever. It doesn't mean, you know, you're going to bawl your eyes out. It might mean you just need 5 minutes to say, oh, sorry, that person really reminded me of my dad. That was a bit weird for me. Oh, are you okay? Yeah, I'll be all right. It's just, it's hard.
But is there, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate, isn't there like a sort of process in which you can swap the sort of, I suppose, the sadness into sort of happy thoughts about that person? Or is that just impossible?
Am I cheering my dad's side? Is that what you're going for?
You're not cheering your dad's side.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be happy your dad's
side. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Why am I? God, you're right. Thanks, Jamie. I feel great. No, you can have happy thoughts about the person, of course, and that's what... But I think it's important to acknowledge, like, I can see someone, or whatever, it can be Christmas or their birthday or the anniversary of their dad, you know, of their death. Or it can just remind you of them one day, or you see a program or a singer that they like. All this stuff can remind you, and you can feel happy and sad exactly the same time. And we have to let people, rather than what happens sometimes is like, people are like, well, it's been 5 years, why are you still sad? It's like, that person will all, I will always miss my dad. That's, yeah. I'm not going to magically one day go, oh, he, I have no effect. He doesn't bother me anymore. And I liken it to children. Like, you wouldn't say to someone who had a 10-year-old child, why are you still looking after them? They're 10. Get over it. Like, it's fine.
But I also think that's because you have a unique heart. And you do. You have a very good aura about yourself.
Oh, thanks.
Which, yeah, you have a great aura. Mm. Yeah, but you do have like a very good aura. Because there are people who would, you know, they their parents or family or loved ones die and they can get past it. And they don't. And they probably have the same relationship. But they're kind of like, okay, you know, I processed this kind of thing. But you, I think, and I could be completely off the mark, but I think you more... how do I put this? You just
still
more,
going on about it.
Yeah. You're just more sort of.
I'm quite sensitive
yeah. and aware and things like that.
But I think it's important to say that doesn't mean I haven't processed it. That doesn't mean I haven't changed. Like, my grief is like the fact that I can sit here and talk to you about it. I couldn't have done this 5 years ago. I would have just been crying. Like, it would have been too painful for me to sit here publicly and talk about it. So grief can change and you can process it and you definitely won't feel the same that you did the year one, year two, year three. Mm-hmm. But what's important is people are often told to pack their grief away. And when they suddenly, maybe 15 years on, they've been absolutely fine. But just 15 years on, they have a really bad day. And everyone's like, well, it's been 15 years, get over it. Or you should be over it. And it's like, it's like mental health. It's okay if you feel bad today about the fact that somebody died. That's okay. Rather than going, there's a timeline, you have to get over it. It's done. Well done. Congratulations. We don't think about them. Or everything's happy. It's like, that's a lot of life. You'll always be sometimes happy about them, sometimes sad. And as long as you feel like you're allowed that process rather than thinking, I should be over it, it's been too long.
That's it's my, so funny about rant. The process and it's great. And process, I had it, my mum had this thing called empty nest syndrome where the kids disappear. Well, they don't disappear, they're still there. They just they leave the nest.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty close to my mum, and so she was a bit upset about it, and she didn't really know, she didn't feel like she had a purpose and things like that. So I said, well, why don't we go and have some therapy?
Yeah.
Just gonna do some therapy. And I big up therapy. I love a bit of therapy, I love talking about myself. And so we went to therapy and she it came all about her. And sort of working through her process, and it was just one session. And she got onto about sort of unfaithfulness, and she was talking about how everyone's been unfaithful to her in her life. And my dad was unfaithful to her, and he divorced her, and all these guys. My dad actually said to my mum, my dad had a Ferrari.
Right.
And when he divorced my mum, he said, look, you're like my Ferrari. I'll love it forever and I'll never sell it. And I went, oh, that's kind of sweet in a really sort of materialistic way. And then the next week he sold the Ferrari. But
she,
yeah, I know, right? But she had this, she had, before my dad, she was going out with this guy and she was going to marry him. She's going out with him for like for loads of years, 4 or 5 years. And she really loved him. And I think he loved her, but she found out he was cheating on her.
Right.
And she was like, okay, well, let's go to couples therapy. And she's telling me this in the therapy session about couples therapy that happened years ago. And she had this therapy and they came back from the house and said two separate therapies. And she walked into the house and said to this guy, I said, look, I need to be honest with you who you cheated me on and who it was. And he went, okay, well, I've had the therapy and I feel like I should be honest with you. And it's tricky. And she went, okay, well, just be honest. I just want to know. My mum has only slept with like 3 people, I think, unless she got really horny after my dad's divorce.
Hey, nice.
And she's sitting there and the guy said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. I lost count at 33. My mum was like,
what?
Yeah. So I understand. And my mum has always been this kind of open and honest person. So with
your mum sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
And these guys sound like assholes.
Yeah, but the thing about guys, this is what we're going to find. So your dad died. When was the first time that you kind of opened yourself up to a sort of another guy or a relationship or in any sort of way? Did you ever...
When did I sleep with 33 people?
When did you start sleeping with all the 140 people you slept with?
Excuse me. What's the question, Jamie?
No, but when was that time? Because I think when you lose such like a patriarchal figure in your life and someone so strong, because psychologically what people say, interestingly, is this is what someone told me, is that I think especially for girls for some reason, you've lived in a household which has normally stereotypically a father and a mother and things like that. So you have that kind of thing. And then when you leave the household and you go into like university or you go and live by yourself, the sort of guy or girl, whoever you find, you sort of automatically go onto them and sort of see them as a sort of a figure who is a sort of psychologically in a sense.
We joke, my friends and I joke about that, like, yeah, dating someone who is your father, but it's a bit different.
But it sort of happens weirdly.
Well, I, for me it's opposite because I'm so like my dad.
Okay.
So I never looked for father figures because it was like I was the
you
person.
You were the person.
I was being like, I'm very similar to him. So then I unfortunately sometimes would be like, I'd be like, oh, this is stressful. What's this? I'd be like, oh, I'm behaving like my dad. So that's, I find that worse rather than like, oh, I'm dating my dad. I'd be like, oh God, I am him. Fuck.
Yeah, but that's actually, that's all. That's almost like more comforting. The fact that you,
I don't know.
That you hold that within you, right?
Yeah.
But you were saying,
I'm having some therapy about it.
Yeah, hey, listen, I had therapy for a while. It was great.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's this is what
I think, huge fan of it. Yeah.
And people should more talk about this. And also with therapy, right? It's not about like, oh God, I got issues. It's more about self-awareness.
Definitely.
You learn the self-awareness and you can go forward and process things much easier, which I think is so useful.
And I think, you know, I talk a lot and I talk a lot to my friends and I would have said, oh, I'm a very open and, you know, self-aware person. But obviously just having somebody who doesn't know all the situation but just hears your version of it and who is able to calmly and outwardly go, it sounds like you did this, then you're like, oh, I did, but your friends can't always tell you what you're doing, or your family have told you, you don't listen, you know, because like, oh yeah, shut up, that's what you always say. And then my therapist is like, do you think you're doing this? I'm like, yes I am
doing that, shut up, stop being right all
the
time.
It's so annoying. But we talk about a lot on Griefcast of grief counseling as well, like,
but it's so important.
It's so important. Some people don't want it, which is fine, but I really think, I highly recommend it. I didn't go for till 18 years after my dad died. Like, I didn't see, and I tried twice and it was just awful because everybody I spoke to was head tilting going, how do you feel about that? And I thought, I can't cope with this.
Yeah.
But then I found a good one, and I said, it's like boyfriends or girlfriends, like, you can't, the first one might not be right. You can't just go, oh, I don't like therapy because I didn't like that therapist. It's like, no one speaks to one person and goes, I won't do it again.
Well, but some people do.
Some people do. But they're not
what
happy.
What idiots. Yeah, they can't be happy.
They're not happy. It's like you have to try a few different therapists and then go find the right one for you.
But I think what you need to be congratulated on massively, and you probably get this the whole time, let's find out, is the fact that, you know, the reason I started listening to podcasts because I think I was going through, and this is the sort of process of not feeling that great, and mine was down to, I mean, I self-validation, all these kind of things. I was doing a reality show, thought I was king of the world and realized that I really wasn't. And then I'd kind of lost friends and I was just feeling like an idiot, pretty much. And all those kind of things. And so I had to sort of rewire my whole self. And that's why I said, but with Griefcast, and so I started listening to podcasts to kind of cheer me up. So I'd listen to ones about, like, you know, happiness, or I would listen to ones about fitness, and then slowly by slowly I would get into this whole amazing world of podcasts. So your one, Griefcast, must help so many different people because they get to process it and understand and realize that they're not the only person out there feeling this way, and I'm allowed to feel this way. Yes, you are, and that's what should be so fulfilling for you.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. I hope so. I get a lot of emails from people like every day saying,
you just delete them, do you?
Yeah, oh my God, ignore. Yeah, away. Yeah.
Stop.
Oh, your dad died too.
Wow.
No, I work my way through them. But yeah, I get a lot of emails from people, like amazing things, which is the reason I carry on doing it, because it's not always an easy show to do. People who say, I didn't know I was grieving. I thought I was having a breakdown. And then I listened to your show and I realized, oh, I'm just grieving. People who said, you know, their parents died when they were like babies. I've never told my wife. I've never talked about it. I listened to the show. I realized, oh, perhaps I should. People who go, oh, I'm not part of the club at all. I haven't lost anyone. But then I listened to the show and I realized, oh, actually my wife had 3 miscarriages and, you know, everyone helped her through it, but I haven't talked about it. And it just, I find that so incredible that it's helping in any way possible, because I know what it's like to grieve and you feel like shit and you think, no one understands me, I'm completely alone. And the part of your brain that lights up when you're grieving is the same part that lights up when you're depressed. So it's not that it's the same as depression, but it's that same chemical balance. You feel very isolated, you feel like no one understands you. So to have a show which hopefully each week you can listen to and go, oh, that's how I felt. And that's why we try and cover all sorts of grief, you know, from like grandparents who meant a lot to you, to a dog that meant a lot to you, to a parent, to a child, to brothers, to sisters. So that whatever experience you've had of losing someone, there's an episode where you can go, oh, that's kind of how I felt.
I think you should just drop the mic on that one. Holy smokes, girl. Hey, listen, we have to stop there until we get to part two. We have like a little break.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do in the break.
I'm going to eat some sweets.
You're going to eat some sweets?
Some of your sweets.
Oh, God.
Is that a good plug?
Yeah, just plug my sweets.
Candy kittens.
I love how you just had to look around and look at the name.
I had to double check.
Do you know what I did before?
I had to double check. I didn't want to say kitten candy or something.
Before we went to the break, I gave Carrie Ann some sweets. She went, oh, these are nice. Where do you get these from? I went, well, they're mine. I was like, you don't follow me on Instagram. You don't know I have a sweet brand.
I'm helping people who are grieving.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're not top of my list.
You're slacking on life. That's all.
Apologies. I'm going to eat your sweets. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, see you part two, everyone. Bye.
Hold up. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.